The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Here ends our text. If you grew up in the golden age of television, you grew up watching black and white TV. And you know how important contrast is. With no color, everything is on the screen is black, white, or some shade in between. Contrast is essential to seeing the picture. It makes it pop into focus. If ever a picture needed to pop into focus, it's that of Christ being baptized by John in the Jordan. What is going on here? Why is this event so significant? Why do we read this account every year? Why until the 11th century was this account read each Epiphany instead of the visit of the wise men? By contrasting Christ's baptism with our own, you'll get a clear picture of why this account has been so important to the church. What's going on in Christ's baptism? In terms of the introit, what's going on is we have one who loves righteousness and hates wickedness standing in line with sinners. We have one who is without sin coming to a baptism for sinners. We have the most excellent of men allowing himself to be numbered with the most worthless. Jesus comes to be baptized by John because he's publicly stepping into the office his Father elected him to in eternity, that of sin bearer. He is publicly starting the work he came to do: pick up and carry away the sins of the world. That is why only after his baptism does John point to Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God that carries away the sins of the world." Christ's baptism means he has all the sins of the world on his shoulders. At his baptism, every last one of them was poured on him. Being the holy God, he was born with none of his own. Being perfect, he never committed a sin. Nevertheless, as the waters of baptism run down his back, the sins of all people stain him. With sin always comes guilt. At his baptism, Christ was not only given the sins of all, he was given the guilt of all. Think what that means. How bad do you feel when you've done something wrong? How ashamed are you when you've sinned horribly? You know what a guilty conscience is like. Well, imagine what it would be like to have the guilt of all people on your conscience. No wonder the scriptures call him a man of sorrows and say that he was acquainted with grief. Sorrow and grief from your sins were his constant companion. They did everything together. At his baptism, Christ picked up the sins of the world and therefore all of its guilt. Christ felt bad because he was a poor mother. Christ felt guilty because he was a lousy father. Christ was ashamed of being a worthless child and of being a bad church member. In short, from after his baptism on, Christ felt guilty for everything. If it rained, he felt his sins caused it. If there was sickness, he was to blame. If there was a disaster, he was the reason. If someone bears sins, then they bear guilt. And if they bear guilt, then they must expect punishment. After his baptism, Christ came out of the Jordan River with the dread that something terrible was going to happen to him or to his family. The sins he bore, the guilt he felt, drove him to that conclusion. By his baptism, Christ is identified as the one who will be crushed for our sins, bruised for our iniquities. Now that's how Isaiah described it. But maybe those words are so familiar to you that they've come to mean little. Well, how about abused for our sins? How about torture for our iniquities? How about crushed for our temper? How about bruised for our pride? How about beaten to a bloody pulp because we curse? Tormented without mercy because we worry? As the waters of baptism run down his back, Jesus knows that he bears the temporal and eternal punishment that you confess you deserve each Sunday. He knows that he deserves to have every illness, suffer every tragedy, endure every heartbreak that can happen to a person. Is that in focus for you? Maybe not. Let me turn the contrast button a little. Your baptism means the opposite of his. There, the things pop into focus now. Your baptism means you do not bear your sins or anybody else's. As the waters of baptism ran down you, they didn't pour sins on you, they washed them off you. That's why Paul calls baptism a washing of the water with the word. Another place Paul calls it a washing of rebirth and renewal. Christ came up from his baptism with the weight of the world on his shoulder. We come up from ours without it. It's as if there's a backpack at the edge of the Jordan, heavy with the sins of the world. Jesus slips it on. It hunches him over. It all but drives his precious face into the dirt. At our baptismal font, there's also a heavy backpack. It's on us until the waters connected to the word washes the backpack right off. There, it's in the bottom of the baptismal font. Do you see it? Our baptism means we bear no sins, and therefore, we need feel no guilt. There's no condemnation, absolutely none, says St. Paul, to those who are in Christ. No one is more in Christ than one baptized into him. Christ's baptism gave him a guilty conscience. Our baptism frees us from one. Actually, it gives us a clean one. Peter says that baptism saves us, not by washing dirt from the body, but by giving us a good conscience before God. One translation says baptism is the answer of a good conscience. Baptism is a great stain remover. It removes the dirt of sin and takes away the stain of guilt that sin leaves behind. The answer for all of you who are chased by guilt from your past sins is not found in the power of positive thinking, is not found in the sedation of drugs, is not found in the forgetfulness of alcohol. The answer that you're looking for is in your baptism. Baptism gives you what no positive thought, no drug, legal or illegal, can give you. A clean conscience. Because of baptism, you can say, my conscience doesn't bother me. Being freed from the weight of your sins by baptism, you need feel no guilt. And therefore, you don't need to expect punishment. You're covered by the perfect life of Christ. So no one, not even God the Father, can find fault with you. You don't have to walk around expecting something bad to happen to you any minute. You don't have to think, well, things are going too good. Something bad has got to happen. In baptism, you were given a get-out-of-punishment-free card. Christ, in his baptism, was given a go-directly-to-hell, do-not-pass-go, do-not-expect-one-good-thing-in-life card. We are to expect only good things from God. He, because of our sins, expected the opposite. Has Christ's baptism and your baptism jumped into focus yet? Can you see that there is different as night and day? What happens to Christ does not happen to you. What should happen to Christ does not happen to you. But what about that last verse? With you, I'm well pleased. So if God the Father is well pleased with Christ at his baptism, how can he be pleased with me in mind? At Christ's baptism, the heavens that had been locked because of our sins were suddenly torn open by God, who sent his Spirit flying down as a dove. The only human being the Holy Spirit could land on was the Holy Son of God. Once Christ went to the cross and paid for the sins of the world, he could send his Holy Spirit into the unholy world. Go into all the world baptizing, he commanded. 10 days after receiving that command, Peter, on Pentecost, preached, "Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." The baptism of Christ opens heaven, and in our baptism, we receive the benefits of heaven. God is pleased to open heaven and to give us its benefits for Jesus' sake. This is powerful stuff. God is pleased that his Son takes on himself the sin and guilt of the world. It makes God happy to see his Son standing in the Jordan dripping with your sin and guilt. Why? Because God loved the world more than he did his Son. God loved the world so much that he gave up his only begotten Son rather than it. God is happy to load his Son with sins. God is happy to cover him with guilt. God is happy to punish him with temporal and eternal punishment for your sake. That's what Isaiah 53:19 says. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Don't you see how much then God must love you? Don't you see what Paul concludes in Romans must be true? If God spared not his only Son, how will he not with him give us all things? That means whatever God is withholding from you now, he is not doing it because he doesn't love you enough or because your sins are somehow in his way. He loves you more than he does his only beloved Son. And he punished his Son just to get your sins out of the way. So whatever God is not giving you now, he must be withholding it out of love for you. When the Father declares from heaven that he is well pleased with Christ, he literally says, "In you, I am well pleased." Outside of Christ, not in Christ, God is not pleased with anyone or anything. Think of Mount Sinai. Think of 1 Timothy 6 or Hebrews 12. There you see God outside of Christ. There the mountain shakes, the smoke billows, and all you see is blinding light and consuming fire. Anyone coming to God apart from Christ is struck dead. In Christ, though, God is approachable. In Christ, he's the infant who doesn't mind the smell of shepherds. In Christ, he's the infant who doesn't mind the touch of foreign wise men or the arms of aged Simeon. In Christ, God is well pleased to give you heaven. He doesn't make you work for it, be holy enough for it, or be worthy of it. He says, anyone can come to the Father by me. I'm the ladder that reaches all the way from heaven to earth. On my back, which bear the stripes your sins deserve, you can climb all the way into heaven itself. The Father is pleased in baptism with both his Son and us sons and daughters. But don't miss the contrast. He is pleased with his Son because of what he will do for us. The Father is pleased with us because of what his Son has done for us. May the richness of your baptismal waters jump into focus so that you dive daily into them and swim joyously around in them. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.